my name is Kate, and I'm going to be reading this scripture. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Psalms 23:1. The scriptures are as relevant today as they were then.
Nice. You crushed it, Kate. Nice work. Awesome job. Morning. How we doing? Good, good. Hey, my name is Dallas. If you're a guest this morning, we're so honored that you're here. I would really love to get to know you a little bit better. So just introduce yourself. I don't bite, all right? So it'll be all right. Just introduce yourself, get to know you just a little bit better. Let me tell you where we're at. We are in our Journey of a Disciple series. And last week, Justin did a great job talking about awe. How really, that's the first step in our discipleship journey, is to have the fear of the Lord, or the awe, or the reverence of the Lord. And today, we're going to talk about really the next two things, which are belonging and purpose. Now, this order is extremely important. We have to start with awe, and then belonging, and then purpose. If we go straight to belonging, the problem is if we don't have a reverence for the one we belong to, then it's not really life-changing for us, is it? Without awe, belonging means little. You know, if my dog comes up to me and expresses, "Dallas, you belong to me." Well, and he does that, by the way. I mean, sometimes he'll come up there, put his chin up on my lap, and just look at my eyes and just almost like, "I'm yours, Dad. I love you so much." But here's the thing. It means something to me. It certainly doesn't mean everything to me, because he's a dog. I don't have reverence for my dog. And it's a silly example, but if we don't have a reverence for God, when he says things like, "You can be in my family, that I love you with no strings attached," then that won't really mean a lot to us if there's not this reverence. But the reality is, we've prayed a couple times today and we've praised his name, and what a great name it is. I mean, the self-existent God of the universe, that's the one we're talking to. And so we have to start with that awe, that reverence. Otherwise, we don't understand the magnitude of the fact that he also says that we belong to him. So important. Now, it's also important that we don't go from awe to purpose. What's going to happen is, if we go from awe to purpose, now we're going to start to try to earn things. See, the thing is, a child belongs to his parents not when he starts crawling or walking. He belongs to his parents before he ever really does anything at all. See, if we go from awe to purpose, then that we'll think that that leads us into our belonging, that if we do enough, then we'll belong. But the reality is that we belong, and out of our belonging, that's where we're free to do anything. See, we don't do things for God's love. We do things from God's love. So important. We can't get this order wrong, or we'll get stuck in legalism. It's all of God, and then it's belonging to God, and then it's our purpose. See, if it's about purpose, what we're going to do is we're going to create categories of people. We're going to say, these are the righteous ones, and these are the unrighteous ones. And consequently, what we'll do is, because we think we can earn a position, or we can earn belonging, now we're going to start to actually revere ourselves a little bit more. We're going to say, I've got the blueprint. I know how to get in good with God. So some of that reverence for God starts to fade. I think the parable in Luke 18 is a great example of this. Starting in verse 10. It says, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a day and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all those who humble themselves will be exalted. You see the difference in the mentalities? One revered God. One had a bit of reverence for what he could do. One knew that anything good in him could only be through God, and the other one thought that he was doing pretty well on his own. See, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. We have to understand that. The only righteousness we've got is Christ's. Christ is the only righteousness we've got. And so we have to belong to Christ before we could ever do. You know, we just can't do enough. You know, you can't pray enough. You can't show enough promise. You can't serve enough. You can't do any of those things because we have to do out of our belonging. See, the one we love, the one we revere, he's the one who actually makes a way for us to be with him forever and have purpose in our identity, which is belonging to him. Jesus is the door. And that's the only way. It's through a relationship with him. That's the only way. Can't get in through a back door. Man, I've been trying to climb in through different windows and things for many, many years to get in God's good graces. Doesn't happen. Jesus is the door. I think Psalm 23 illustrates going from stage one to stage two really, really well. This first sentence, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, what did a sheep ever do to earn being led by a shepherd? Was it his great intelligence? Was it his great bravery? Of course not. I mean, did a shepherd ever look at a sheep and say, "Man, I am so impressed by this sheep, I've just got to lead this one"? No, it is the kindness and it is the love of the shepherd. You'll notice "Lord" here in all caps. That means Yahweh, the self-existent relational God. And there was so much reverence for this name, Yahweh, that they wouldn't even write this word down. It was too reverent. So they came up with a code for what they meant as Yahweh. So Lord in all caps, that's what that means. And so what he's saying here is that one that we revere so much, he is, check that, is actively my shepherd. And not just a shepherd, not just the church's shepherd, my shepherd. The one who guides me, the one who protects me, the one who comforts me, the one who prepares a table for me, the one I revere so much, I belong to him. I mean, is that not amazing? He loves me. He leads me. I belong to him before I ever did anything. You see, you will never be able to fulfill your purpose until you know your belonging. You'll never be able to do anything resembling right motivation until you realize how loved and embraced you are by your shepherd. A lot of us think we've got to conquer stage three before we could ever get in God's good graces and belong to him. But while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We have got to get that in our heads, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Not when we started to show a little bit of promise. You know, we started to shake that sin habit just a little bit, and then he said, "Okay, now you're showing some promise. Now I will give everything for you." You know, while we were still sinners. See, he loved us most when we deserved it least. He loved us most when we deserved it least. It has nothing to do with our accomplishments or our doing. Romans 5, 8 through 11 says this, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation." Man, he loved us at our worst. And by the way, that applies to the murderer. That applies to the rapist. That applies to the worst people you could possibly think of. And by the way, I know that's a bit jarring, but while we're here, let's take it a step further. None of us in this room are any more deserving of his love than those groups we just mentioned. Love is simply just who he is, and his love changes everything. I don't know about you guys, but knowing His love for me is really what allows me to do anything at all. You know, when I'm angry, when I'm frustrated, it's the love of God that brings life to my soul. I feel like I can fly when I recognize how loved I am by Him. And when I can't forgive somebody, you know, I'm just angry, I'm just so frustrated, I remember His love, and it just gives me the fuel to do anything at all. So for any who will humble themselves, repent, and place their confidence in the name of Jesus, we will all belong to God's family. And that's our identity now, children of God. Pastor, I love my job, guys. I just want to throw that out there. I really do. But pastor is my purpose, not my identity. It's not my belonging. If I was fired today, my identity would not change. My identity is child of God. Same for all of you. You don't belong to your company that you work for. Yeah, yes, that's what I'm talking about. Yes, I love that honesty. Man, that's awesome. But we don't. We don't even belong to Grace Meadows Church. We belong to the King, and that's so important. Dallas Crouch is not your shepherd. Yahweh is your shepherd. We belong to Him, and we've got to reorganize things to the point where we recognize that we belong to Him. Now, that's how we can start to step into our purpose, is when we recognize we belong to Him. Going from stage 2 to stage 3, belonging to purpose. We start to recognize that we're not only accepted through Jesus, we're also valuable. We have family that we belong to, but we also have purpose within that family. We're not just consumers, we are also contributors. We bring value, we bring purpose, we contribute. In stage 3, we start to recognize that we have a lot to offer in the family of God. You know, there comes a certain point, if you've had teenagers, there may be a resounding amen to this, but, you know, teenagers don't really want to help around the house. If you've got a teenager right now that wants to help around the house, man, you get on your knees and praise the Lord right now. But before that, though, when they're really young and they start to recognize that they have gifts and they can help and they bring value, man, they want to help, don't they? And we've got one right now, our youngest, when it's time to mop the floors, she goes ballistic. She is excited. She even asks if we can mop the floors again. Because she wants to be like her parents, man. She knows, hey, I've got something I can contribute here. This is good. See, we're never more like Christ than when we are serving and using our gifts. He's given us gifts in the body. We're never more like Christ than when we decide to utilize the gifts within the body of Christ that He's given to us. In stage 3, we start to mimic those who have invited us in. We start to get plugged in. Perhaps it's stage 3 when we're ready to just storm the gates of hell, man. We're so passionate. We're ready. We're saying, God, let's go. Whatever you've got for me, let's do it. There's a zealousness present. We start to volunteer in the community and in the church, and we want to tell everybody about this Jesus that we love so much. And now, by the way, serving in the church, shameless plug, all right, in this moment. We've got about 8 million down in the kids' barn. Kids. And we need some help. So if you are interested in helping serve down there, fill out a Connect card on your way out, drop it in that basket. But here's the thing. It's not just about filling a need. It's about stepping into our purpose. We all have gifts. We all have gifts in the kingdom of God. We all have unique talents, and we need to utilize them. The body of Christ functions best when all its members are activated. If you've ever tried to run without using all your body, it can be very difficult to do. Even if it's a shoulder, even if it's an arm, even if it's a back, whatever the case is, it's very difficult to run our best if we're not utilizing our whole body. If our whole body isn't healthy and working together in order to run the race, then it is a struggle to run that race. We've all got to, as the body of Christ, we've all got to get involved. Philippians 3:14, Paul says this. He says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. See, in stage three, we start to understand our calling. We start to find purpose, and we press on, we labor, we volunteer. We're excited about pushing back darkness by using our gifts and running the race that God has set forth for us. Now, it's not all sunshine and rainbows once we start utilizing our gifts. It can very much and very quickly become about performance when we utilize our gifts. Because here, what's going to happen is, you're going to start using your gifts, and people are going to start noticing. And you're going to start to feel really good about what you're doing or insecure about what you're doing. That's why this order is so important. It's the reverence of God. It's belonging. And then it's our purpose. We're not defined by our gifts. And that's why as we start using our gifts, things like character have to be just as important as the gifting. Otherwise, we're in big trouble. Because your gifting produces some level of authority and power. And you want to make sure that authority and power are in the hands of people who can tolerate it and handle it. I mean, would you ever want a nuclear weapon in the hands of somebody with bad character? I don't think so. That's the point here. Our gifts produce authority, power. We've got to make sure there's a humility present. And we're not defined by our gifts. In 1 Corinthians, the church, man, I don't know how many letters Paul sent to the church in Corinth, but 1 Corinthians is not the first one. Because what they were doing is they would have church services and they would be defined by their gifting. And they would stand up. They'd just interrupt somebody who was talking or whatever, and they'd say, "All right, my gift is more important than yours. So you stop, I'm going to start." And they just couldn't even get through a service because of that. So the idea being, Paul says in 1 Corinthians, here's what love is. Love is important. You could do all those things. You could have all these gifts and things, but it doesn't matter if you don't have love. That's the point here. Our gifting has to be subordinated under things that are more important, like humility, like love. Remember, we belong to Christ. We belong to Christ. Your outward success or failure regarding your gifting does not determine your belonging. Let me say that again. Your outward success or failure regarding your gifting does not determine your belonging. In Ephesians 1, it says that we are God's glorious inheritance. In Zephaniah 3, he sings over us. In Romans 8, it says that nothing can separate us from his love. In Psalm 36, it says his steadfast love for us stretches all the way to the heavens. In Isaiah 54, it says his love shall not depart from us. Lamentations 3 says his love for us never ceases. I mean, we got to understand that. It's like, really, God? We are your glorious inheritance? Really? I mean, the one who created the stars and the skies and the millions upon millions of galaxies, and he says, "I sing over you guys." I mean, it's amazing. It's incredible. I mean, how do we ever just go, okay, tell me what to do? Really? I mean, the God of the universe, the self-existent God of the universe, sings over us? This is a kind of love that can't possibly be earned. It's freely given by a wonderful and good Father. Our purpose does not define us. Who we belong to defines us. And because we belong to Him, now we can freely step into our purpose. And that's got to be the right order. It's awe, it's belonging, and then it's purpose. Now, it's at this point that everything seems to be falling in place. Next week, stage four, we talk about confusion. What do you do when the rug feels like it's been pulled right out from under you? But I want to stay here in 1, 2, 3 just a little bit longer. Worship team, you guys can go ahead and come up. I'd like to conclude this way. It'll be a little bit different. If you want to close your eyes, that's helpful for you, then that's fine. Pastors often say, bow your head and close your eyes, which isn't really biblical. It's just, you know, it could be a good, helpful practice. In fact, Dallas Willard once said that pastors just say, bow your head and close your eyes, that way they can control you better, which I thought is a pretty cynical view on it, but I think it can be helpful to close your eyes as we process through these questions to conclude. Stage one, awe. Think about the last time that you were just in awe of God. I mean, you were just like, man, I have access to the God of the universe. I mean, are you kidding me? The self-existent God, the one who created everything. When is the last time that you just sat in awe and wonder at Him? Take a moment. Maybe repent of having a small view of God and begin to praise Him like He deserves. And stage two, belonging. When's the last time you just recognized that you belong to Him? And when's the last time that you recognized how fiercely and freely God loves you? When's the last time you recognized that you are His glorious inheritance? If I'm honest, this is the one I've struggled with most throughout my whole life. Something about me, and maybe some of you can relate to this, or something I've felt about me that's just not lovable. I mean, surely I gotta like, surely once I prove myself, I mean, once I do enough, then God, you'll truly love me at that point. But the reality is, there's nothing we can do to earn His love. He fiercely loves us. Take a moment and receive this love. And lastly, stage three, purpose. When's the last time you actually believed that you bring something to the table in God's great kingdom? When's the last time you allowed yourself to believe that you actually have something to contribute to the body of Christ? That your gifts matter, that you have something to offer here? Would you take a moment and ask God to reveal to you how to step into your giftedness more fully here today? No matter where you are this morning, God is good. He's going to meet you exactly where you are. As we conclude, I do have an announcement that I want to share with you guys before we get back into worship. About a little bit before 8 this morning, our beloved Dan Trzynski went on to be with the Lord. And there will be time to celebrate his life and remember him in the days to come. But I did just want to share one thing about him. Such a great man. I mean, he belonged to the greatest generation, and there's a reason why we call it the greatest generation. There are men in this church from that generation that we ought to just revere. Just thank God that they've been placed in our lives. And Dan, special. I mean, even Friday, just visiting him, can't even hardly move, but he had to make it a point, just all the energy he could, just to shake my hand. It's just the kind of guy that he was. And we don't want to necessarily mourn for Dan, because you know what he's doing right now. He is running and yelling, hallelujah, hallelujah. But we do mourn for Cheryl, we mourn for Pam, and we mourn for our church because it is a big loss. So as we conclude today, I'd love for us, his trademark, hallelujah. And by the way, what that word means is to praise God joyfully. And isn't that what he did? He didn't just say hallelujah, he did that with his life. So on the count of three, if you will with me, we'll say hallelujah together. One, two, three. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we're so thankful for who you are. We're so thankful that there's so much evidence of your goodness through Dan's life, through this church, through so many different avenues. You are so good. And we've seen that evidence abundantly, especially over the last couple of days. We've just seen your goodness all over our lives. And we thank you. And we praise you. Because you are so good. We stand in awe of you. We love you very much. In Jesus' name, amen.